Today's shiur is Masechet Gittin Daf Lamed Dalet. We will begin on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. We've been discussing since the beginning of our perek the ability, at least under certain circumstances, for a husband to mevatel the shlichus to give his wife a get. So our Gemara now discusses another one of the rules involved in that bittul. Says the Gemara, Gittel Bari Loi Shodel Gittel Advisa. He sent a get to his wife. Ozel Shlicha Ashkecha Davias V'Navla. The Shlich went and met the wife weaving. Amar Hagitech. So the Shlich tells the wife, I'm here to deliver a get. Amale. So the wife asked him, Zil Hashta Miha, please leave now. Talamacha. And return tomorrow. I'm not available now to receive the get. Ozel Gabei. So the shliach now goes back to Gittel Bar Eloi, Vamalei, and he told him what transpired. Pasach v'amar, so Gittel Bar Eloi had the following reaction. He said, Baruch atah v'ametiv, which seems to indicate that he was satisfied that the get wasn't delivered. Apparently, he had a change of heart. He didn't want to divorce her. So Abaye amar, Baruch atah v'ametiv, he made a very nice statement. However, that doesn't change anything for a bottle heater. The get is not bottle. Why? As we're going to see in a half a minute. Because he didn't articulate it clearly. It was only through a gili das. It was only through our figuring out what he meant. And Rabbi is of the opinion the gili das isn't the way of expressing, of communicating bittul. Rav Amar, Baruch atah v'ametiv, u'batal gita. It is a way of being mevatel the get. Ask the Gemara b'mayka mifki, what is the basis of their machlokes? Is Gili Das, as we said, a good way of expressing his intent to be Mevatel? The Bayis Sova, Gili Data Begita Lav Milsehi. It is an adequate way, not an adequate way of making this expression. For Rav Sova, Gili Data Begita Milsehi. It is a good way of expressing a bittul. And in Mefarshim, I saw two approaches and how to understand this Machlokes. The Chasam Sofer takes a fairly simple approach. His approach is that Abaye holds that even though we've been learning that bittul is effective, it's only effective when it's said clearly. Anything besides a clear statement is not enough. And Rava disagrees. We don't need to have a clear statement. Tosfos Rid takes a different approach. Tosfos Rid's approach is that if it's only a gili das, it remains in the status of dvarim shebelev. And we've learned many times that dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, and that's why it's not a way, good way of communicating. What would be the nafkamina between the approach of the Chasam Sofer and the approach of the Tosfos Rid? The nafkamina would be if he didn't say it expressly, but it's so obvious that that's what his intent is. Baruch atah v'ametiv is really somewhat ambiguous. Maybe he's just saying Baruch Hashem, it'll be tomorrow. Or maybe he says, Baruch Hashem, I don't want to get divorced. But let's say it's so obvious that that's what he means. What would be the din? According to Chasam Sofer, it makes no difference. If you didn't say it, it isn't a bittul. According to Tosfos Rid, if it's obvious, then it's not dvarim shebelev, and even Abaye will agree that it's an adequate way of being mevatel to get. And I saw that Rav Shach, the Sefer Avi Ezri, explains what is the basis of the machlokes of Abaye and Rava. Gives a lumdish explanation. He explains the machlokes between Abaye and Rava is how strong of an act is bittul. According to Abaye, bittul accomplishes something very significant. And if you want to accomplish something significant, you need to do it in a significant manner. What does a significant manner mean? A strong bittul. Rava is, on the other hand, of the opinion that bittul is not such a significant act. It's not a chalois, to use the yeshivish expression, and therefore, bittul is enough. Although, the Rishonim point out that even though Abaye is teaching us that Gilui Das is not enough, that's only if the Gilui Das is like the case that we learned now in the Gemara, that the Gilui Das took place after the get was already sent. But say many Rishonim, what would happen if the Gilui Das took place as the get is being sent? There, many Rishonim suggest that even Abaye would agree that Gilui Das is adequate, because it's part of the Nesinas HaGet. The Pesach Tshuva discusses the following Shaila. So the way we just explained, according to the Baya, after the get was sent, Gilui Das is not enough. When the get was sent, Gilui Das is enough. What would be the din if there was a Gilui Das before the get was sent? What would be Abaya's opinion? And Peskei Tshuva quotes a Machlokes. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Menah Minalei. From where do I know a Gilui Das is enough to mevatel a get? Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshesh Ashkele Gita Lahu Gavra. Rav Sheshesh sent a get to a certain individual, Bal Korchei. As we're going to learn in the Masechta, under certain circumstances, a person could be forced into giving a get. Vamalu Asadi, and the person who sent the get, the husband, said to the Edom that were there, Hachi Amar Hu Rav Sheshesh. Rav Sheshesh said, Levatel Gita, the get should be voided. Vatzuchei, and Rav Sheshesh, upon hearing this episode, Atzuchei Rav Sheshesh Gita Achrina. He required another get. So here we only have a Gilui Das. And still, the Gemara is teaching us that Gilui Das is a good enough way to mevatel the get. So Baya, how does Abaya explain Rav Sheshesh's opinion? He says, Otter Rav Sheshesh mevatel gita de inshahava. Let's understand even the husband's statement. He's saying Rav Sheshesh was mevatel the get. Does Rav Sheshesh have the ability to mevatel the get? Rather, Iyu batlin. Really, the husband was mevatel it. So if the husband is being mevatel it, why is he blaming Rav Sheshesh? V'hayda omeluhu hachi. Why did he blame it and why did he involve Rav Sheshesh? Mishum the Punuye. Because he was scared of Rav Sheshesh, and he was scared of Rav Sheshesh's attendants who would not let him get away with being mevatel the get, because he was giving the get under duress. So that's why he mentioned Rav Sheshesh's name. But he didn't mean that Rav Sheshesh was mevatel the get. He was mevatel the get. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Abaye Menah Aminala. How do I know that Gilui Das is not enough to be mevatel get? Rav Yehuda Ashkele Gita L'chasnei Rav Yirmiyah Barah. Rav Yehuda extracted a get from the son-in-law of Rav Yehuda Barah. Again, like we just learned a moment ago, under certain circumstances, Bezdin could force a get to be given. Or Batli. And what did this husband do? He gave the get under duress, and as soon as he gave it, he was mevatlet. Tana. So he repeated. Rav Yehuda repeated him giving a get. Ashkelay, making him give a get, and again, batle. Hodatane, and then he does it a third time. Vashkelay akarche, forcing this individual to give a get. But now, he recognized that he has a real problem here. So what he did was, v'amlu l'sadi, he told the Edom, oisif kri b'naichu. Achlek is what kri means. Some say it means put a piece of squash in your ear. Others say kri means put wax into your ear. V'kusvalu, and write the get. Visa. And like this, if he will try to be mevatel the get, it'll be meaningless because you didn't hear him say anything. So the Mefarshim ask, we learned in the previous year that a machlokes, we're going to discuss it again in a couple of moments, that even though bittel has to take place in front of the Edom, what is the din if the bittel didn't take place in front of the Edom? Is the bittel a valid bittel or not? And we learned the machlokes, Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. And according to Rebbe, it's a valid bittel. So good, the Edom didn't hear. They have the ears stuffed up. But he's still saying it. So what are we accomplishing? So I saw a number of truths. One teretz is, this person didn't come to the Daf Yomi Shiur. Obviously somebody who doesn't want to give his wife a get when she deserves it doesn't come to our shiur. So he didn't know this din, that if you do bittel improperly, the bittel is valid. Or he thought that he didn't know the din is like Rebbe, or he thought you have to do the bittel in front of these Edom, or he couldn't find other Edom, and that's why he was stuck. Now Abaye makes this point. If we're going to hold Gilui Dat Begil Gita Milsehi, that you don't have to say, you just have to show it. Hachazalei, didn't these Edom see the Karat Basrayu, that this individual who's being forced to give the get is running after them? And obviously, why is he running after them? Because he wants to be Megala Das. Isn't that a great Gilui Das that he doesn't intend, that he wants to be Mevatel Get? Says Rava, Hai, the Karat Basrei, this that he's running after them, what he meant to say was, Domela Osha Havale,
Keheich de Misham Tzar Lu Gavra. So the Mepharshim explained the Gemara this way. Rava will teach us that in a situation where the husband is being mevatel the get, and it's obvious that that's his intention, Gilui Das is enough. But just seeing somebody running after him, after the shliach, is not really a clear indication that he wants to be mevatel get. Maybe he's running after the Edom to tell him, quick, give it to him quicker. Give it to my wife quicker. So therefore, it doesn't fall into the category of a Gilui Das, and that's why it's not a bittul. But in a case where there is no room for misunderstanding, Gilui Das is enough. That's how the Rishonim explain this Gemara. So there's two questions that the Rishonim ask. They probably ask more. I'm going to speak out too. One question that they ask is, fine, the husband's running after them, and like Rava just taught us, we can't be sure what he means when he's chasing after Edom. But he ultimately catches up with them. And they could ask him, what did you mean? So why when they ask him, and he says, I meant Tibim Mevatel the Shlichus, isn't that an indication that that's what they meant all along? So the Rishonim answer, a concept that we've discussed numerous times, in Hilchos Gittin, the Torah uses the word Sefer Krisus. It has to be clear and obvious what's happening. To rely that afterwards the husband's going to come and explain what he meant, what he said, what he did, that isn't called Krisus. But then the Rishonim ask another question. We learned at the beginning of our parak that the Gemara asked, why did the Mishnah have to give us all the various cases to teach us this concept that bittul could be done? And the Gemara said one of the cases came to teach us that if the husband runs after them, after the shlichim, it's not a way to be mevatel get. So asked Rishonim, I already learned it from the Mishnah. Why does the Gemara have to quote this story? So I saw three answers to that question. One answer is that this story is clear. The story is black and white. The case of the Mishnah doesn't speak about a case where the husband ran after the shliach. The Gemara explained that that's what the Mishnah means. It doesn't necessarily say that in the Mishnah. One teretz. Another teretz, that is in the case that we learned at the beginning of the parak, that's explaining the Gemara, the case there was where the husband was running after the shlichim went out. He didn't start running right away. First the shlichim went. And then he decided to run. Could be that's not enough of a way of expressing a bittul. In our case, he started running immediately. So maybe that's more of an expression. And therefore, this should be considered a valid bittul. Teaches us the Gemara that even that's not a valid bittul. A third teretz that I saw is also a kalal that we know throughout Shas. Whenever we have a maisa rav, wherever we saw that something was followed, halacha l'maisa, that is much stronger of a proof that that's the right halacha. The Gemara is explaining a Mishnah, but it didn't show us an episode where this psak was followed. Vam Rabaya, Mena Aminolo, from where do I know that Gilui Das is not a good way of doing bittul? Dahu da Amalahu. Somebody told his wife, and as we know, we've discussed, a Jewish marriage takes place in two stages. Erisin and Nisuin. Oh, no, that's next tomorrow. Let's go slow. He gives his wife a get, and he tells the wife, if I don't arrive up to 30 days, we'll have a getter. The get should be a get. So now it's the 30th day. Also Paskim Abra. He's trying to get home, and there's a flood. The river overflowed, and he can't pass the river. Amaluhu. So he's standing on the other side of the river, and he's yelling, Chazuda soy, Chazuda soy. I'm here. Just I can't get there. Vamishmu, loishme masya. Why? It's certainly a case of Gilui Das. It's clear what his intent is. Yet, what is the Gemara saying? That it's not good enough. Gilui Das is not good enough. Rava, how does Rava defend his opinion? Rava, ota hosom levetuli gittel boy. Is his purpose to be mevatel get? It could well be that to be mevatel get, Gilui Das is enough. Hosom l'kemume tonight, boy. His entire intent is just to show that he's fulfilling his condition for l'kaim tonight, and he wasn't fulfilling his condition because the halacha is ain oynis begitten. You can never say that that something happened in a get. We learned the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph beyond my control. So I saw a gevaldige kasha that the Achronim ask. Very relevant, la loch la maisa. There's a famous opinion. We spoke out this opinion on the first blot on the Masechta Ksuvos of the Aguda. The Aguda is a Rishon. He says like this. Let's say this Zman Tefillah is 10 o'clock. A person says, you know what? I'm going to daven at 9:45. You know, there are people like that. He's going to daven at 9:45. It comes at 9:45. He's an oinus. Something happens that's beyond his control that he couldn't daven. We know that halacha is that if somebody missed a tefillah but oinus, he can make it up by the next tefillah. So the Gudda says that's not called an oinus. Why is it not called an oinus? Who told you to wait for the last minute? You wait for the last minute and then something comes up. Don't daven at 9:45. Daven at 6:30. So ask the Mefarshim, if that's the case, then let's think about our Gemara. The Gemara is saying that were there a concept that oinus were an acceptable excuse by Gittin, the fact that he came the last day, he would have an excuse that he's an oinus. Why? Why do you wait for the last day? The Aguda says if you wait for the last minute, you're never an oinus. The Achronim asked this question. So I saw a number of answers. One answer is you can't compare Gittin to everything else. Gittin, they have different rules than other areas of oinus, and maybe something which is an oinus for get is not an oinus for something else. But then I saw a beautiful teretz for the Chassam Sofer. Beautiful teretz. The Chassam Sofer says as follows. A person shouldn't wait for the last minute to daven. You waited for the last minute, then something came up that you couldn't daven, and now you want to be a tzaddik and say I was an oinus and I couldn't daven, so let me make it up. Why'd you wait for the last minute? There's no mitzvah to give a get. Actually, a get's not a good thing. So you can't have a complaint to a person. Why did you wait for the last day? Because there's no rush to give a get. And therefore, since there's no complaint that this person did the wrong thing, if there were a concept of oinus by gittin, it would be a good excuse, but there's no oinus by gittin. Hahud amalhu. Now we say our introduction that we said earlier. As I said, a Jewish marriage takes place in two stages. Erusin and Nisuin. In our world, it's not that relevant, because we do both the Erusin and Nisuin, one after the other, under the chuppah. But in their times, as we learned so many times in Masechta Ksuvos, there was an interval between the Erusin and Nisuin. So there was a husband that said to his wife, Eli Nisivna Atlos Yomim, if I don't do Nisuin within 30 days, Lahava Gitta. The get that I give you should be a valid get, and we're no longer husband and wife, no longer murasais. Kimata tlasin yamim. 30th day comes. Amalai hatarachna. I wanted to do the wedding today, but, you know, sometimes you get busy, and I couldn't do it. So the question is, l'may nechishla. Let's try to understand, is this a get or not? Imishim ansa, as we just learned, ain't honest begitin, that's not an excuse. Imishim gilui data begita, if because he clearly showed that he really wanted to get married, but something came up beyond his control, says the Gemara, look at the Baye Ravahu. It's a machloikus of a Baye Ravah, and according to Baye, Gilu Das doesn't work. Tells us Taisus, not to say that according to Ravah, the get would be void, because Ravah also agrees to the concept of Ein Einus Begitten, and therefore the get is a good get. So there's really no halacha lemaisa machloikus between a Baye and Ravah, it's just a reasoning machloikus. Similar story. Hahuda Amar Lahu, somebody told his Arusa, Eli Nesivna L'Reish Yarcha Da'ada, if we don't have Nesuun B'Reish Chodesh Adar, L'Havi Gitta, then the get I'm giving you should be valid. Kimot D'Reish Yarcha Da'ada, when Reish Chodesh Adar comes, and as the Meiri says, it's not Reish Chodesh Adar, it has to be ready before Reish Chodesh Adar, Amar Lahu, so he told them, I didn't mean Reish Chodesh Adar, and no L'Reish Yarcha D'Nesa Amri. I meant Reish Chodesh Nesan. So the question is the get a get or not? Says the Gemara, L'may Nechishlo. Again, let's try to understand. Imishim Einus, Ein Einus Begitten. Imishim Gili Data, if he clearly shows that he intended to get married and there was a misunderstanding, plucked at the Baye V'Rava. Says the Gemara, Hilchasak Nachman, the Loch is like Rav Nachman, that he said in the end of our previous year, that the Loch is like Rebbe in both Dinim. Number one, that even though Rav Gamliel taught us in our Mishnah, you're not supposed to do Bittel only in front of the Shliach, but the Eved, if you did it in front of a Bezdin, it's acceptable. The Hilchos of Nachman that he said in the previous, Hilchos of like Rebbe that we learned in the previous year, that Rebbe said that if you're Mevatel one Shliach,
not in the presence of the other shliach, it's a valid bittul. Hilchsuk Nachman, here we have a machlokes rishon what this means. Some rishonim say the halachas like Rav Nachman, we had a machlokes, how many people have to be in the bezdin the bittul is done by? Rav Nachman said two, Rav Sheshi said three, and then we're saying the halachas like Rav Nachman. That's how Rashi learns. Taisa says Hilchsuk Nachman goes back to something that we also learned at the end of the previous year, on top of our Amid. Yisoyim Shabbat Lachlev in this VM, they have the right. They don't have the right. And Bezdin divides up the father's estate. They don't have a right to protest when they become Gedolim. Ve'ilchusuk Nachmeni. Nachmeni is a Abaya, that the halacha is like a Abaya, the Gilui Das in Bittul is not a good way of expressing a Bittul. In fact, the Gemara says, not here, but in other places, usually when we have a machloikis of Abaya and Rava, the halacha is like Rava, except for six cases which are known as Yal Kagam, and the Gimel of the Kagam refers to Gittin, where we're passing like Abaya, not like Rava. Why was Abaya called Nachmeni? So there are a few pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat is that Abaya became an orphan when he was very, very young. And Rabbi Nachmeni raised him, and because of that, he gave him a name after his own father. That's why he called him Nachmeni. And why was he called Abaya? Ashebcha Yerucham Yosim. We see what it means to have Rachmanis on a Yosim, that Rava raised this orphan. Another pshat is that Abaya was Rabbi Banachmeni's nephew. Abaya's mother was Rabbi Banachmeni's sister. And Abaya was named after his mother's father, Rabbi Banachmeni's father. So Rabbi Banachmeni did not want to call Abaya by his name Nachmeni, because every time he says the word Nachmeni, he's using his father's name, which is a lack of respect. So that's why instead of calling him Nachmeni, he called him Abaya. I'm calling you Abaya. Abaya is of, father. I'm calling you by the name Abaya, because I can't use your real name of Nachmeni, because it's my father's name. It's interesting, as we begin the next sugya, which we'll complete Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach today, this Mishnah and Gemara, for those that are involved in writing Gittin, is the basis and the most difficult aspect of writing a get. And literally, there are thousands of tshuvas written on the subject. And the subject is writing the names, which names to write, how to spell the names, what to write in a get. How did this begin? It's interesting, it's fascinating how the Rishonim explain this all began. In those days, Jews lived in a time of persecution. And Jews were always on the run. And besides having to run, they also had to change their names. Throughout history, there are many stories we hear of Jewish people changing their name. So that's exactly where our Mishnah begins. Where a person lived in one city, had to run to another city, and his wife is prepared to go back to the original city. He isn't, and he changed his name. So the question is, what name is used in the get? Says the Mishnah. Rishayna hayim mishana shmoi v'shmo. At the beginning, it was acceptable to, if somebody had two names, we just used the name that he used where the get was being written. Similarly, Shem Ira v'Shem Ira, there's two cities, the city where the get is being written and the city where the get is being delivered. We wrote in the get the name of the city that was where the get was being written. However, Hiskur of Gemilah HaZakin, Shai Kaisif, Ish Ploini v'Kol Shum Shieshloi, this person and all of his names, Ish Ploini v'Kol Shum Shieshloi, Mnei Tikkun Olam, that we shouldn't, and the Gemara will explain what the Tikkun Olam is, where there's a mistake here. So Tosfos quotes a very, very fundamental machloikis. What does this mean? V'kol shem sheyesh lo. He quotes the Hilchus Gedolus that says that's exactly what you have to write. This person, write his name and all of his... No. V'kol shem sheyesh lo. Just write those five words. Four words. V'kol shem sheyesh lo. You don't have to write the names. That's the way the Hilchus Gedolus paskins, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Rabbeinu Tam says that doesn't mean anything. Not only does it not mean anything, it actually could cause problems. Because not everybody has a nickname. Not everybody has a nickname. So now we're going to have a situation where you're going to write this individual,
the kol shum sheyesh lo. And we're going to say, obviously he has nicknames, but he doesn't have any nicknames. He obviously doesn't have any names, so must be that's not that individual. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam, and that's our minig, and that's what the Ramah says, you have to explicitly write all of the names that are in the get. What about, it's funny, the Rishonim point out. Interesting. The Mishnah begins speaking about the names, and the names of the cities, and then the Mishnah just focuses on the names of the people and doesn't discuss the names of the city. What's going to be the halacha regarding the names of the city? So it's a machlokes Rishonim, if the names of the city need to be accurately reported in the get. It seems that all Rishonim agree that if you're going to write a city, you have to write it the right way. It's better not to write it than to write something wrong. Similarly, our minig is that we write, in order for identification purposes, we write the name of the city, the nearest river, the nearest body of water. Again, if you don't write the body of the water, most body of water closest, most Rishonim said the get's going to be a kosher get. But if you're going to write the wrong one, or you perhaps even spell it wrong, you're worse off. I even saw, interesting shilas, there's one opinion in the Rishonim that says that since we want to have proper identification, we should write the birthdays of the husband and wife. And again, we don't paskin that way, but we do paskin that if you're going to write it, you better write the right birthday. Again, similarly, the minig, this is the minig, that if the person getting divorced is a kohen, if the person's a kohen, so we write that he's a kohen. If he's a Levi, we write that it's a Levi. And again, the Rishonim say, if you don't write it, it's fine. But if you do write it, and he's not a kohen or a Levi, you have a real issue. What's the halacha? A few interesting shailas that I saw. What's the halacha? If Rahman Salam, we know sometimes people get sick, and they change the names. So, but they're not necessarily called by the name that they was changed, because we're already accustomed to calling them by the original name. What is the main name written in the get? Most Rishonim say that the new name that he was changed to is the name that should be written in the get. Both names are written, but the main name is the new name. Bechlau, at least when we're dealing with religious Jews, this is something that we could work with. We write the name, the main name is typically the name which he's called up to the Torah with. How he's called up to the Torah is the way he's, again, nowadays, we're going to speak about it later, not everybody's religious, so they were never called up to the Torah. Not everybody even has a Hebrew name. And similarly, it's so interesting, Shaila, I'm not going there, I'm just going to mention it. What happens if someone is not an Orthodox Jew, and the wife davens in a place where women are called up to the Torah? Says the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Shochalei, they sent the following message. Shochalei Bnei Yisayom to Rabbi Gamliel. The Bnei Yisayom sent the following message to Rabbi Gamliel. Bnei Adam, Haboy Misham Lekan. People that come from Eretz Yisrael to here. Shma Yosef, there he was called Yosef, the Karan La Yochanan. And here they call him Yochanan, or vice versa. Yochanan the Karan La Yosef. And the Reb Tzadik HaKoyin explains what's the connection between Yochanan and Yosef. Both of them represent that a person recognizes that everything he has is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yochanan is Lashon Chanina, that everything we have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yosef means that everything that I'm given, I have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if people had to change their names, as we spoke about earlier, they typically would try to change the name to a name that was similar to the original name. Heich Megashin Nishasayim. What do we write in that get? Amar Rav Gamliel, the Hiskin, Rav Gamliel said, Sheikaisen ish pliny, the kol shum sheyesh loy, then that we learned in the Mishnah, isha plinis, the kol shum sheyesh loy, when they tikkun oilam. Amar Rav Ashi, when is this halacha applicable? Vudis chazik betray shemi. Only if he taka has both names. He has a name that was used in the place where the get is written, and he has a name that's used in the place where the get is given. Amalei Reb Abeler of Ashi, Reb Mori, Reb Elazar, Kaim Kavasech. They agree with your opinion. What will be the halacha, say the Rishonim, that in the place where the get is being written, no one is aware that he had another name in the place where the get is going to be given? There, the halacha is that you don't have to use that name in the get. You should, but you don't have to. Kanye Tavasid Rashi. Hoyle Shtei Noshim. If somebody had two wives, V'achas Yehuda V'achas B'gola, V'loy Shnei Shemes, and he has two names. Different names are used in different places. Achas B'Yehuda V'achas B'gola. V'girish Ishtei Shebi Yehuda, V'shmoy Shebi Yehuda, V'shishtei Shebi Golo, V'shmoy Shebi Golo, Einem Begreshes. Why? Because he's missing a name. And as we just said, it's referring to a situation where we here in the Makom HaKtziva maybe don't call him by that name, but we're aware that he has another name. Ad? I just lost the phrase. Ad Shigaris Ishtei Shebi Yehuda. It's only acceptable if he divorces his wife Yehuda, Vishmai Yehuda, Shem the Gol Imai, both names. If he went elsewhere, and he used only one of his names, Megreshes, it's a valid get. Ask the Gemara for Amrit, shame the Golul Imai, that you do have to write both names for the get to be valid. So we have a contradiction from the beginning and the end here. In the beginning it says that in order for the get to be kosher, you have to have both names. At the end it says you don't have to have both names. If everybody here is aware of both names, so if a name is missing, the get is possible. If the name is not, if people aren't aware of the name, then the fact that that name, which nobody's aware of here, where the get is being written, then the get is not invalid. Says the Gemara, Hahi, there was a woman, Davakarla Miriam, everybody called her Miriam, or Porta, where there were some people called her Sarah. Amrei Nadoi, so Nadoi said, what's the right way of writing this get? Miriam v'chol shum sheeshla, v'loi sora v'chol shum sheeshla. You have to write the main name first. So the Rabbeinu Tam, in our Tosfos here, has a very long discussion, a very, very relevant shaila. What happens if a person has a non-Jewish name? Do you write it in the get? So Rabbeinu Tam says, chas v'shalom. A get, he uses a very strong word. He says a get is a document. It's a davishab kedusha. And how could someone write in a get a non-Jewish name? That's Rabbeinu Tam's opinion in Taisus. So, what is the halacha? The halacha is not like Rabbeinu Tam for a different reason. Rabbeinu Tam, explained the Mefarshim, is referring to a name that's a name of Avodah Zarah. Rabbeinu Tam is referring to a situation where a person, Rachmanu Litzlon, Shmad, and he took on a name of Avodah Zarah, and that name, says Rabbeinu Tam, does not belong in a get. But what happens if somebody has a non-Jewish name? He's called by an English name, a non-Jewish name. Certainly say to Mefarshim that that is not what Rabbeinu Tam meant, and certainly the halacha is that that name should be included in the get. And again, as I said earlier, that's the difficulty, how to write English names in Hebrew, says the Mishnah. If Almana comes to collect her ksuba from the Yisraimim, she's only allowed to collect it with a shvuah. Why? As we're going to learn in the Gemara, we are concerned that maybe the woman already collected all a part of her ksuba. So how can we be sure that she's not coming to take something twice? The only way we can be sure is by making her swear. So Tosfos asks, we all know this rule. He says, nobody ever pays up a debt before they have to. So why would I think that the woman collected a ksuba before she was entitled to it, before her husband died, that we should have this shaila? So I saw a number of answers. One answer, Tosfos says, is that since a ksuba is a tanai bezdin, and tanai bezdin is something that's very strong, that's why it's likely she might have gotten paid during his lifetime. Another pshat that I saw is that sometimes the husband is very ill and he's concerned for his wife. So he says, you know, I don't want you to have to hassle with my assignment. So now, before I die, take already the ksuba that you shouldn't have this problem. Or she may do it on her own, that she'll see that her husband's dying and she anticipates problems. So while she still has the ability, before he passes away, she takes the ksuba. Therefore, the halacha is she cannot collect without a shvuah. The machlokes rishonim, what is the case of our Mishnah? Some rishonim suggest that if the woman comes with a ksuba in her hands, that is the greatest proof that she didn't get paid her ksuba, and the halacha is she could collect, then she doesn't need to make a shvua. Others say that a ksuba itself, especially given the reasonings that we just gave, is not necessarily adequate proof that she didn't get paid her ksuba, or at least part of it, and she still needs to make a shvua. However, nimnum lashbiya, and we'll explain it tomorrow, why, hiskar gmiya zakin, shidei neder sli summer. Instead of making a shvua, she should make a neder. Koma shiyetsu, the yisoymim could dictate what they want, the guy of ksubas, and she could then collect the ksuba. Continues the Mishnah. Ha'edim chosim al-get, edim could sign on a get, mibnei tikkun ha'olam, what this means we'll describe, we'll learn also tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. For Hillel, hiskin prosbal mnei tikkun ha'olam, there's a prosbal that if debts that are due in Shemitah shouldn't be cancelled, the way we avoid that, says Hillel, it was a prosbal, also we'll learn in the Gemara what this is all about. Ask the Gemara, my iri amana, why does our Mishnah point out that specifically the amana only has a right to collect? With a shvua, afil kulaminami, everyone has that obligation. The kaimlan, habali par menichsi yisayimim, if somebody wants to collect from the yisayimim, la yifra el b'shvua. So why is the Gemara, why is the Mishnah speaking about amana? What's so special about amana? Answers the Gemara, amana is tukhlai. We need to teach us specifically that amana has to make a shvua. Sakadat chamina mishum china, ikilu rabbanon gabo, kamashwan. And there's a number of pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand this. One pshat that Rashi learns, is as follows. We want women to be anxious to get married. So if a woman knows that if the marriage will be terminated, if her husband unfortunately passes away, she'll be able to collect the ksuba, she'll be prepared to get married. But if a woman knows that her husband's going to die, she won't be able to collect the ksuba, she'll never want to get married. Tysus here, takes exception with that pshat. We notice throughout Shas there's a rule that women are very anxious to get married. So just because she's not going to collect her ksuba, that's going to prevent her from getting married. So Taisa says Mishum China means for the second marriage. Here we have a woman who's a widow. So we want her to be able to get married a second time. One of the ways that she'll be able to get married a second time is if we give her, if she has a ksuba, she has money, so there'll be more men interested in marrying her. A third shot that I saw in the Rishayim is that we want there should be shalom bayis between a husband and wife as long as they're married. So if the wife knows that if I get along with my husband and I treat him with respect, when the marriage, if chas v'shalom he dies and the marriage ends, I'll get a ksuba, that will give her an incentive to treat her husband properly. But if she's under the impression that when he dies, he's anyway not getting a ksuba, that will cause her not to treat her husband properly, and therefore the halacha is that she, therefore we would think that maybe she shouldn't have to make a shvua or another kamashmalon that she does. I made it.